This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Sharit Abdullah and Wong Xiaoning. In some international headlines over the weekend, Hong Kong witnessed another weekend of unrest in mass demonstrations across the island. It is the eighth consecutive weekend of anti-government protests. So demonstrators were dispersed across four separate districts, including an airport sit-in, a march on Saturday through Yuen Long. On Sunday, police authorized gathering began in the central business district before spontaneously splitting into two groups. One marched east towards Causeway Bay, while the other marched west towards the Chinese liaison office in Saiwan.
So we see hundreds of police blocked protesters from reaching the Chinese liaison office, and protesters were dispersed with tear gas as well as rubber bullets. So we're seeing all this violence continuing continuing on both sides. So last weekend we saw protesters deface China liaison office in Hong Kong, and at the same night, mobs of men wearing white shirts attack protesters as well as commuters in Yuen Long Station near mainland China. So it's suspected to be involvement of triads.
Yes, and earlier this month on July 1st, protesters defaced the LegCo building. Now, this chaotic weekend showed that Hong Kong protesters are sustaining momentum for a protracted fight against embattled Chief Executive Carrie Lam and her supporters in Beijing. And this, of course, has drawn comparisons with France's Yellow Vest movement. Now, the question is whether the government authorities can make any more concessions to kind of deflate the uprising, which in a way has already paralyzed and is threatening to paralyze further policy making and scare away businesses from this financial hub.
Yeah, the comparison between the Yellow Vest movement and the Hong Kong protests is quite interesting, because if you take a look at the Yellow Vest movement, I think that series of protests started with some unhappiness over an oil subsidy late last year, and that rapidly became just the flashpoint into a wider series of protests centering around the government's tax policies and what the rural and peri-urban citizens felt were unfair practices against them. So it was really, it started out with something small, and it became a symbol for wider unrest. And that is what is happening with Hong Kong, because it started with this extradition bill, and now these protests have rapidly grown to encompass dissatisfaction over Chinese involvement in Hong Kong's national sovereignty, in Hong Kong's business of government. So it doesn't look as if this is going to die down anytime soon, because these are issues that are very long standing and that have existed in the Hong Kong society since they went back to China in 1997. And it's also interesting to see that Hong Kong does have this demonstration culture. They do have an annual protest march every year on the 1st of July. That's the date of the handover in 1997. And that was the protest from which a group of protesters split off and then subsequently laid siege to and took over the LegCo building.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is really going to be a challenge for Hong Kong. This is more than 20 years on since they were independent from the British, and now they still have a few more years to go. I mean, they've probably about 30 more years before that they have to consolidate the administration as well.
And it shows under one country, two systems.
That's right. So, I mean, it's going to be tough. But as you mentioned, Xiaoning, I think this has taken a toll on the economy, them being the financial hub. We're talking about tourism, big spending travelers go there, they go there to eat, they go there to shop, and you could see retailers are all suffering as a result of this. And I'm also thinking that, you know, considering the number of people who are participating in all these marches, perhaps even productivity as well of the individuals in Hong Kong.
Yeah, so far, I think the data coming out of Hong Kong is that we do see export numbers coming down. Last week, we did see exports at lowest in about 5 years. Meanwhile, jobless rates probably will rise from the current 20-year low of 2.8%. Other data points which show how Hong Kong is affected by the protests is actually rental and the property market. As you all know, Hong Kong is one of the most expensive places to live.
Yes.
On a per square foot basis. Your car park could be worth as much as 2-3 million ringgit just for a car.
So that's a year or...
No, that's to buy a car park space in Hong Kong.
Really?
Yes. So recently, data from Commercial Real Estate Colliers released last week showed that the gross take-up on new leases fell about 40%, especially to mainland Chinese companies. So there is this concern that, oh, you know, should I spend any money? Should I increase my footage in Hong Kong? Maybe people hold back in making these decisions. So average office rents in the city are likely to fall in 2019 for the first time in 6 years as a result. And also, there's been a slowdown in strata sale office prices by 5%, and this is from Colliers.
And we actually spoke to Stephen Innes from Vanguard Markets this morning, and he highlighted that Hong Kong, the situation there is one of the things that he and his group will be watching, because it could be a potential flashpoint. And the other notable thing in that is that the US has been very notably silent on the Hong Kong protests. They have said nothing at all. So how this continues and how it develops may also have an impact on how China treats with the US, how China is, because China is essentially fighting a battle on many fronts here, because the Hong Kong protest is seen widely seen as a challenge to Chinese authority, and whether and how they are going to react to that will also set a tone for the rest of their foreign policy going forward. And actually, there's been some analysis over whether the Chinese military could get involved, because China's People's Liberation Army does have troops stationed in Hong Kong, though they are not expected generally to interfere in local business. However, the law does permit Hong Kong's government to request assistance from the PLA for purposes of maintaining public order or disaster relief. So the question remains as to whether they will call on the PLA in order to address these protests if they do continue to escalate.
Yeah, especially when looking at the situation, how it is escalating, that we're looking at violence also escalating. The nature of the march is getting, in some ways violent. Not the marches itself, but, you know, the involvement of the police and the weapons that have been used as well.
The other interesting thing about this whole thing has been the attacks on citizens at the Yuen Long MRT station, right? Because whatever said and done, Hong Kong is generally seen as a safe place. And I've been there many times, and I never felt fearful walking around the streets at night, right? Mm. But now for the ordinary Hong Konger, you get a little bit nervous. I mean, you think, MRT station, why should it be so dangerous, right?
Yeah.
And out of the blue were these men wearing white shirts attacking protesters, and I saw pictures of them. Some of the victims were really beaten up. And, you know, there's a question about who were these people and why didn't the police interfere? Where were they when they were needed? And Hong Kong police have always had a reputation of being the best force in Asia. So now there are question marks over the independence of the police, and the police have had to come out and say, no, we will do our best to ensure the safety of the Hong Kongers.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And the question of who is a big one, right? Because even within the protest against the extradition bill and against the wider Chinese involvement in Hong Kong sovereignty, these protesters are not all uniform. There are different factions to them. And one faction was the one that broke into the LegCo building on the 1st of July. So there is a concern that the movement could be further divided if we do see offshoots practicing this escalation of violence. But then there's also the question of the fact that it's coming to August, and August is the start of the school year in Hong Kong, and a lot of these particularly the more extreme groups of protesters in Hong Kong are young. Some of them may still be students, so it's whether or not going into August, whether these protests will die down as a result of the protesters themselves just not having enough time to participate in these protests. I think everything is still a little bit up in the air, I think, with regard to these Hong Kong protests. But what is not in doubt is that these Hong Kong protesters have said that they will continue to protest in the coming weekends. So it is likely that this will be a developing story, and we will bring you updates as soon as we have them ourselves. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.